Feel free to keep your Bibles open at Philippians chapter 2. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for today, and we give thanks that we can especially remember and celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that the right spirit might be formed in our hearts and minds as we consider him and what he has done. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Well, it's wonderful to gather together to celebrate here this Christmas morning the birth of Jesus, our Saviour, coming into the world. But as we think about today, I want us to start with tomorrow. I wonder, do you know what December 26 is about? That is Boxing Day. What is Boxing Day about? Some people think Boxing Day is about leftover wrapping paper and cardboard. Try and put it together, or you tear it up, you kind of do all those special tricks to get it into the yellow bin, then you jump on top of the yellow bin and you're stressing about which day the garbage truck's going to come. And, you know, people on Facebook, Arrow at Flax, when's the garbage truck coming? Is there two? I think, anyway, is that Boxing Day? Other people think Boxing Day is about fighting, where family members don the sparring gloves to sort out disputes from the year just gone. Other people think, well, maybe Boxing Day is about returning unwanted gifts back to the shops, still in their original packaging. But Boxing Day, in fact, has traditions that are about giving and serving those who are less well off. December 26 is also known as St. Stephen's Day, and historically it's been a day when money given at Christmas was distributed from church poor boxes to people in need. But also, in the Victorian era, the upper class would put together boxes of food and money and goods for their servants and tradesmen for their efforts during the year. Many of the servants, in fact, had to wait on their masters and mistresses on Christmas Day. And so the next day, the 26th, they were given the day off to visit their family and friends and were given gifts in boxes to take with them. We see the same here in Downton Abbey, if you're familiar with that. Another example of this going on the 26th. If you look at the lyrics of the Christmas carol, Good King Wenceslas, it's set on the feast of Stephen, St. Stephen's Day, December 26. And we see him finding a poor man in the snow. He's struggling in the snow, and he gives him gifts of meat and wine and pine as firewood. Now, these themes, I think, draw our minds to what Jesus did that very first Christmas when he entered the world. And when he lowered himself from heaven, as the kids have heard, as we've all heard, to come and to help us. So the first thing we're going to think about is that Jesus serves us at Christmas time. So in our second Bible reading from Philippians 2, the Apostle Paul reflects on what Jesus did when he came into the world as a baby. The heavenly Lord set aside his glory and honor, and he came down and provided for us who should be serving him. And so we read this: Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God to be something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So if we think about those Victorian nobles with their Christmas Day feasts, they, in fact, would be the ones served first. And then afterwards, the downstairs help would get the leftovers. But at the very first Christmas, Jesus, who is God, departed from heaven, gave up the privileges of God, and took on the duties of a servant. He stooped down and became human like you and me. Yet Paul goes on, he humiliated himself even further. Because you see, although humanity, all of us in this room and everyone else around the globe and going back through time and into the future, although all of us have been in constant rebellion against God, in love, Jesus came down to die on the cross for sinful humans. And in doing so, Jesus fulfilled the name given to Joseph by the angel prior to his birth. We also read this, Matthew 1:21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. God became a servant, and a servant who died to save us. So then if we think about that Victorian era practice of the, it's the next day, the Boxing Day that comes after the Christmas Day, where the masters give something to the servants, well, it's a bit back to front. It should be the other way around, because Jesus was the master. He is the master. He is the Lord. He's the Messiah King who first serves the subjects. That's us. And he did so in love for us. He came into a world beset by so many problems, and Jesus lived and died for us to save us from a mess of our own creating. The badge of the feathers for the Prince of Wales has a motto on it. It's Ich Dien, which in German is I serve. Currently, the Prince of Wales is William, before him Charles. Look, let's say both have put in their best efforts, better than some other royals in the United Kingdom and the Commonwealth. But neither of them have gone so far in their service as to lay down the royal privileges and live as a commoner. Rather, the Prince of Wales is always one to live in a palace and serves by going on day trips, out on planned events, nor has service caused them great danger. But Jesus, he left the heights of heaven. He was born in with the animals in Bethlehem. He was raised and lived in a dusty village in Nazareth. He was crucified at the capital in Judea, in Jerusalem. Jesus' commitment to serve was so great that as he was preparing, you know, mentally preparing, he knew what was going to come, he was preparing to be arrested, tried, and put up on the cross. His soul was overwhelmed in sorrow, and he prayed in great anguish for the strength to follow through with the service that was ahead of him. Jesus knows what it is to serve, yet he also knows what it is to give. Because from his death, from his resurrection, he gives, he grants eternal life to every person who turns to him, who trusts in him. And not only is this good news for us, you know, for me, for you, this is also good news for those around you. Second point, in him, we serve him and others in return. So as recipients of God's salvation, we must turn to him as Lord and serve him. But then also we need to take on his example and serve others. So we continue on with what Paul was writing. He says, therefore God exalted him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So two things. We serve Jesus as Lord, firstly, because he is God. And that alone warrants him being served as Lord. At Christmas time, we know him as Emmanuel, God with us. And secondly, Jesus also deserves to be served because of his actions. What he did in his life and his death and his resurrection as the humble saviour of the world. At his return, at his second coming, everyone will acknowledge him as Lord. And it is wise for us now to reflect on those two reasons to turn to him as Lord before that time, before he returns in glory and power. Yet as Lord and humble saviour, he also directs us to a new kind of life with one another. This is one where we take on his servant-minded approach and we look to the interests of others before our own. Too often at Christmas, we think most about what we are going to get, or this morning, what we have got, and maybe we want to go home and play with it. We think about what we're going to get. So the kids get the presents. Under the tree, you shake them around to see what's inside. You get the grandparents' envelope, and you hold it up to the light to see what colour money is inside. And then you compare the presents and the money between one another. And you want to see who's come out on top and who's being ripped off. The adults mentally calculate the value of what they give one another versus what is received. Where we can be annoyed when you spend more money than someone else, you know, that they spent on you. I can't believe they're so stingy. Don't they realize what I got them? But conversely, we get annoyed when they give us a better present than we gave them. I can't believe how they went overboard. They're trying to make me look bad. But if we have the mindset of Jesus Christ, we will not be so centered upon ourselves. We'll be thankful for what we get. If we get anything, we will be concerned for the good of others. He, in love and tenderness and compassion, without superiority, without selfishness, gave himself for others. Now, if we're to imitate him in this, what might it look like? And you might have to do some hard work on this, but here's some thoughts. Perhaps it is the hardworking mother or grandmother who gets to sit on the couch and put up her feet at Christmas lunch while others do the work. Or perhaps if we think of tomorrow, another Boxing Day tradition, the cricket, she gets to watch the Boxing Day match or something else of her choosing. Perhaps it might be trying to make conversation with a difficult person. Now give it a go. Maybe it's leaving the peace and comfort of grown-up company, adult conversation, and playing with the kids with a game of their request. Maybe it's a phone call to someone or a visit to someone who's on their own, or picking them up and taking them out somewhere. Maybe it's a generous gift to someone struggling. You can have a think. God humbled himself and served us in Jesus Christ at Christmas time. And during all his time on earth, this is how he operated for us. What's one thing that you might be able to do to try? Being mindful of someone else's interest this Christmas Day and Boxing Day. Jesus is the good King who saves us, who blesses us. He saves all those who trust in him. Now, his salvation is not from the winter snow, as in the carol, a la King Wenceslas, but his salvation is from sin and death. And he instructs us to help others too. Now, in the final part of that carol that I've referred to, and if you don't know it, you know, look it up, and you'll recognise the tune. I'm not going to sing it. In the final part of that carol, it says, people sing this, "Therefore, good Christian men and women, be sure, wealth or rank possessing, ye who now will bless the poor shall find yourselves a blessing." Now, it's an encouragement. It's an encouragement to do good to others. And that is just drawings from Jesus Christ. That model, that example, what he has done for us, Jesus himself tells us to do it for others. And what about the real man, the real Wenceslas, the first, the Duke of Bohemia, who lived in the 10th century? Well, he lived it out himself. Cosmas of Prague writes this about him, and he's a Christian, so this is why he's doing these things. He says, "But his deeds, I think you know better than I could tell you, for as it is read in his Passion, no one doubts that rising every night from his noble bed with bare feet and only one chamberlain, he went around to God's churches and gave alms, so money, generously to widows, the orphans, those in prison and afflicted by every difficulty, so much so that he was considered not a prince, but the father of all the wretched." Now, it sounds like a slander, but actually he's saying he's the father of all those who need such help. He's like a generous father to them. He was famous for his faith in Jesus, leading him to serve others in generosity and good deeds. And might it be the same for us? You know, may the love of God, which we receive, he's come into the world, he's died and risen for us, for our sake, may that fill our hearts and overflow from us this Christmas, that we bless others as we have been blessed ourselves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus from heaven to be our Lord and Saviour. His loving service was hard and humiliating, yet he gives us forgiveness and eternal life. Grow in us a new mindset which seeks the good of others over ourselves, and help us to put it into practice this Christmas time. Amen.